Welcome to Addressing Alaskans, where we feature community conversations around South Central Alaska. Join us on Alaska Public Media as we travel throughout our community and listen to local groups discuss what matters to them. Thanks for joining us today for Addressing Alaskans. I'm Ammon Swenson. Today's episode features the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation's 2025 Anchorage Economic Summit. We'll hear findings of AEDC's annual Business Confidence Index survey and hear about Anchorage's job market, unemployment trends, and consumer confidence. Before that, we'll hear from the AEDC board chair discussing the organization's recent work and from Mayor Suzanne LaFrance with an update about the city. We'll close out the show with an interview from Mary C. Daly, president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, who was the keynote speaker for the event. This was recorded on August 6th at the Denina Center and was edited for broadcast.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Michelle Clauda with GHD and chair of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation's Board of Directors. It is great to be back with you and share an update on what AEDC has been working on, what lies ahead, and our mission and in our mission to grow a prosperous and sustainable and diverse economy for Anchorage. I am proud to represent our 18-member board, whose insight and visionary leadership help guide AEDC's priorities, work that is made possible by the support of our 250 investor companies. Before I share more about our 2025 priorities, I want to take a moment to provide an important update on AEDC's leadership. Our president and CEO, Jenna Wright, is currently on extended leave of absence. In early June, Jenna was diagnosed with cancer and is currently undergoing treatment. During this time, all AEDC functions continue as planned under the strong leadership of our board, the executive committee, and our very dedicated staff. We sincerely hope Jenna will be able to return to her position in the near future. We appreciate your ongoing support of AEDC and encourage anyone with questions or concerns about AEDC's operations to reach out to Ashley Ebnett, who is overseeing day-to-day operations in Jenna's absence, or any of our board of directors. While we continue to navigate this leadership transition, AEDC remains fully committed to our mission and focused on delivering results for Anchorage. With that, I'd like to share some highlights of our work so far in 2025. AEDC has been focused and forward-looking, responding to both opportunities and challenges with data, strategy, and strong partnerships. Through the Choose Anchorage framework, we continue to advance progress in areas of business vitality, talent, quality of place, and infrastructure. Here are just a few highlights from the first half of the year. Business vitality. Our team has been busy meeting with local employers and advancing business retention and expansion efforts across the city. We've seen new investments taking shape, and we've also refined our outreach tools to better support site selectors and tell Anchorage's story as a place for business. While national economic conditions remain fluid, AEDC continues to deliver actionable data through our reports and outreach to help local businesses plan with confidence. Talent. We officially launched the Anchorage Ambassador Program, a peer-to-peer campaign that empowers locals to help recruit talent to our new city. We've also continued our support of workforce development through programs like the Academies of Anchorage and efforts to better serve veterans, amplifying the voices of young professionals and veterans alike. These partnerships with schools, nonprofits, and community organizations remain central to our talent strategy. Quality of place. Momentum is building across the city. If you recall, in our last keynote luncheon, our keynote speaker, Peter Kageyama, asked, "Why is Anchorage so beige?" And that question sparked real conversation. And now it is inspiring real action. Thanks to the mayor's office, in partnership with Anchorage's Community Development Authority, the city has embraced the Beyond the Beige Challenge, committing to reimagine our public spaces with more creativity, vibrancy, and heart. AEDC co-sponsored two project proposals for this initiative, and we are thrilled to share that we were awarded both grants in partnerships with the Alaska Mural Project and Cabin Fever. These projects will help bring more color, energy, and local creativity to Anchorage's built environment, and we are excited to see them come to life. In addition to this placemaking momentum, we celebrate the city's meaningful policy wins, like the newly adopted property tax abatement tool to support much-needed housing development. Major renovation projects, from hotels to healthcare facilities, are reshaping Anchorage and reinforcing investor confidence. Infrastructure. We continue to support meaningful infrastructure work, including collaborative efforts like Project Anchorage. While the Anchorage Assembly ultimately postponed a public vote on the sales tax proposal, there's clear recognition that we must keep advancing bold, long-term solutions to fund our city's future. AEDC remains fully committed to being part of that work and continues to develop steps forward. As we look to the remainder of 2025, AEDC is focused on several key areas. Delivering trusted economic insights. AEDC remains committed to providing timely, data-driven reports that empower decision-makers and businesses. This includes today's updated business and consumer confidence reports, as well as our ongoing monthly employer reports, all designed to help Anchorage navigate economic shifts with clarity and confidence. Doubling down on business attraction and retention, we are intensifying efforts to support local employers through more targeted outreach, innovative tools, and strengthened partnerships. By understanding and responding to the needs of Anchorage businesses, AEDC aims to foster growth, encourage investment, and sustain a resilient local economy. Elevating our city's story. Through strategic marketing, media engagement, and authentic storytelling, AEDC is showcasing Anchorage's unique opportunities and lifestyle. Our goal is to inspire pride among residents, attract new talent, and highlight why Anchorage is an exceptional place to live, work, and build a future. The successes and priorities would not be possible without the strong collaboration of our investors, community leaders, local businesses, and dedicated staff. In closing, I want to thank the entire AEDC team for their hard work and vision, and to all of you, our board investors, our board, and community partners. Thank you for your ongoing support. Together, we are building momentum for a more vibrant, resilient, and opportunity-rich Anchorage. It is now my pleasure to introduce our next speaker, Anchorage's Mayor Suzanne LaFrance.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Michelle, and thank you to AEDC for the invitation. It's hard to believe that it's already been a year since I first spoke here, just 1 month into my time as mayor. So it's really great to be back here with all of you. I want to note that we are joined by a number of our locally elected officials, members of the Assembly. We have Chair Christopher Constant, and if you all could just wave. Member Cameron Perez-Verdia, Member Aaron Baldwin-Day, Member Zach Johnson, Member George Martinez, and Member Yarrow Silver. So thank you all for your partnership and for being here today. We're also joined by a number of members of our municipal team. We have a wonderful team, and I know that folks are scattered throughout the room. Thank you all for your hard work. We're also joined by Bill Popp, who's been working with our team as a consultant in economic development. So thank you, Bill, as well, for your work. This event always re-energizes me, reminding us of Anchorage's potential through both good news and tough truths. And it's really exciting to see what I believe is a full house today and lots of excitement about the keynote speaker. My family first moved to Anchorage in the 70s, but I grew up in Palmer, and as a kid, Anchorage felt like the big, exciting city, with Lamont's at the Northway Mall and a Tudor still unpaved. And I think about Tudor, I'm dating myself here, because y'all remember when people would drive the Elkan Highway and they'd have those bumper stickers, "I drove the Elkan Highway and survived"? Well, at one point, somebody printed bumper stickers, "I drove the Tudor Road and survived." Like, it was that long and it was that dusty, and it's like it drove through the wilderness of Anchorage. My dad was an iron worker, and I remember the excitement we all felt when he worked on what we called at the time the Blue Bridge, the one that over Ship Creek. And he worked on a number of other buildings, or including the port and the airport control tower, the downtown Marriott, and lots of optimism about the growth. At different times, we've had a much higher crane count, right? Lots of construction, lots of activity, and we want to see that again. We've had some downturns too. I remember friends leaving in the 1980s when oil crashed, and those were some tough times, and we've made it through. As mayor, it's my job to help Anchorage stay resilient through any challenge, no matter what is happening with tariffs, interest rates, or federal policy. That means keeping people safe, keeping our infrastructure sound, and supporting our local economy with policies that help bring down the costs of childcare and housing. We know it's expensive here. Our community is facing some big economic challenges, from a housing shortage and out-migration to funding changes and uncertainty at the federal and state levels. But despite these challenges, and in some ways maybe because of these challenges, I see opportunities for growth. I see opportunities to innovate and work together on solutions. I see a really bright future ahead for Anchorage. And we are making progress, step by step. And let me tell you about a few of the most exciting strides in the last 13 months. When I took office, our municipal prosecutor's office was so understaffed that hundreds of criminal cases were being dismissed. Now our prosecutors are fully staffed, and speedy trial dismissals are a thing of the past. Vacancies are down at APD. Oh. I agree. That is so worth clapping for. We know that our prosecutors are an essential part of our public safety system. Vacancies are down at APD. And we have a full police academy for the first time since 2020. We also have 12 new community service officers who are already at work, with another academy starting this fall. And you're going to start to see them, you probably already have, out and about in their bright green shirts and their trucks, too, that have that matching bright green. So they're easy to see. We're taking other steps to make public spaces clean, safe, and accessible. I sponsored new rules to prohibit homeless camps in high-risk areas, near schools, playgrounds, trails, and busy roads. Every child deserves to be safe while walking to school or playing outside. And our public spaces, which we all love our parks and trails, need to be safe and accessible for everyone. Homelessness is another tough challenge here and in many cities across the U.S. Working with the Assembly, my administration has solidified a year-round shelter system, ending the costly cycle of seasonal shelters. It's cold here, and people need to have a place to go. We secured $5.5 million in federal funds for housing. That money is actively helping people move out of shelters and camps. And we're trying out a promising new idea. This fall, we're opening 24 micro-units as recovery residences for people seeking treatment and transitional housing. Housing has been a top priority for my team, and for good reason. A lack of housing is causing people to leave Anchorage or decide not to move here in the first place. This, and I think you all know, has a huge impact on our economy, our quality of life, and the future of our workforce. So to address this, I set a 10-year goal of building or rehabilitating 10,000 homes. And yes, it is a big, bold, audacious goal. We've cut red tape and added new incentives, and it's already working. And I appreciate the collaboration and partnership with the Assembly. We saw a record number of ADU permits last year, And in just the first half of this year, we've doubled the number of multifamily permits issued in all of 2024. And I want to give a shout out here to Greg Soule and his team at the permit counter at Elmore, and they have been working really, really hard to get those permits out and ensure that we have more cranes and we have more housing. Next, we're tackling housing rehabilitation. We've proposed tax breaks to fix vacant properties and new code updates to allow repairs to older housing with zoning issues. We're making it easier to upgrade mobile homes with modern options like manufactured housing or tiny homes. And I have to say, you know, the mobile home piece has been educational to me because I didn't realize that it was so difficult, almost impossible, to upgrade mobile homes. And so I'm really excited about those changes that are coming forward. And for the first time, cannabis tax dollars are supporting the childcare sector through a dedicated fund approved by Anchorage voters. So thank you all for that. Right now, these funds are helping providers stay open, they're improving worker retention, and most importantly, expanding access so parents can stay in the workforce. And we know what a huge economic issue childcare is. These are pilot projects, and we expect to see even bigger impacts next year. I would also be remiss if I didn't thank our legislators for taking a strong stand for our public schools. The municipality and the school district are separate, but good schools are absolutely essential for keeping Anchorage a viable and attractive place to live and do business. So thank you all. The work of making Anchorage more resilient and affordable can't happen without all of you. And I know many of you are already very engaged in our community, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for what your organizations bring and do for our economy. Government plays a role, but true progress depends on all of us. So whether it's volunteering at Covenant House, donating to a local nonprofit, or following the lead of Central Lutheran and building transitional housing, we each have a part to play. The solutions we seek won't come from the sidelines. They'll come from all of us working together. And I appreciate, Michelle, how you give us a shout out on the Beyond the Beige and appreciate the advocacy of this group. And I wanted to say that even before we got those grants out, there was a group of business people, citizens who were like, we want more murals downtown. And so they pulled together a group, and you may have seen the Rhonda Scott murals on the Nordstrom building, but that was 100% grassroots effort. And so there are lots of ways we all can contribute, and I appreciate, you know, everyone who steps in and helps. I'm proud of what we've accomplished this past year, and I am really, really excited about the road ahead. We've had a lot of ribbon cuttings here. We've had some groundbreakings. Some of you know I love the big scissors, and it's exciting to see the kind of progress in so many ways that we are making. Anchorage is resilient because of its people. Thank you all for your commitment to this community. And let's keep building a stronger, safer, and more affordable Anchorage together. Thank you.
You're listening to Addressing Alaskans on Alaska Public Media. Today's show is the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation's 2025 Anchorage Economic Summit. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Addressing Alaskans on Alaska Public Media. Today's show is the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation's 2025 Anchorage Economic Summit.
Thank you, Mayor LaFrance and Michelle, for those excellent remarks. My big takeaways, Mayor, what do you think? We need to get some T-shirts made for your administration, because, you know, beige can be like a personality type, too. Not mine. But, you know, we could get T-shirts that say, don't be beige, or another T-shirt that just says, more big scissors, right? For more than two decades, AEDC has partnered with McKinley Research Group to provide our investors and the broader Anchorage community with data-driven insights that inform decision-making that help drive programs. I'm honored today to introduce two experts who will bring depth, clarity, and context to the members, to the numbers, that shape our city. Katie Berry is an accomplished economist and president at McKinley Research Group. Joining her is Moira Gallagher, a former AEDC team member and now senior consultant with McKinley. Thank you very much to McKinley Research Group for their committed partnership in producing this important work. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to Katie and Moira.
Good morning, everyone. As Dave said, I'm Katie Berry, and this is Moira Gallagher, and we are here with the McKinley Research Group. Dave, I'm pretty sure you did steal my line that McKinley Research Group has been supporting AEDC, preparing economic forecasts and updates for the organization for two decades. You would usually find us behind the scenes of an event like this, and we're appreciative that today we've been asked to give an economic update to all of you. I would be very remiss if I didn't point out that Moira and I are just two of 12 research professionals that work at McKinley Research Group. You can find some of our other professionals here at this table and some emeritus researchers such as Donna Logan sitting with us today. We also have staff in Juneau. Our job today is to give you an economic update, and we're going to mostly focus on areas that typically grow the Anchorage economy. We'll also provide some contextual information to you, especially as it relates to evolving federal policies and how those intersect with our businesses. My last note, and you can tell by now that as an economist, I've got so many caveats and you're going to be sick of them, but here's one final one. We always try to be very specific about Anchorage when we give this kind of update. However, there are times today where we're going to talk about spending in the Alaska economy or things statewide more broadly. That is very deliberate. As the economic hub of our state, things that happen around Alaska, money that is spent across Alaska, is going to impact Anchorage. So let's dive into all of that. Here we go. So as promised, we wanted to get some of this federal policy context out of the way because there are things that Moira and I will talk about this morning and this afternoon that really have a bearing or there's the ways that these federal policies intersect with our private sector here.
So for starters, the announcement of tariffs and potential tariffs and the delays, cancellations, and then reimposition of those tariffs has created a lot of uncertainty. And you can see from the timeline up here, some of these tariffs have been in effect for several months, like those on foreign-made cars and car parts. And some of those are scheduled to go into effect as soon as tomorrow. In particular, I would highlight a 15% tariff on goods coming from the European Union and the UK, and a 35% tariff on goods coming from Canada. Now, tariffs impact all of us as individuals in the cost of goods, especially to the extent that companies are forced to pass along those costs to consumers. But in addition to those impacts to us as individuals and families, the tariffs will also have a dual impact on the Alaskan economy, and that's in cargo volume and in construction costs. As a large air and marine cargo hub, we see a lot of volume that passes through, but we may see a reduction in that volume if, as is expected, tariffs result in reduced consumer spending. We will also see that goods will get more expensive that are coming into Anchorage, particularly construction materials and particularly things like lumber coming from Canada. That will drive up the cost of construction, both residential and commercial.
How and where the federal government spends its money is also very relevant for Alaska. Each year, the federal government spends about $12 billion here in Alaska. And to give you some context, that's about on par with our largest private industries. They spend across many different categories, but we've put them into four buckets because we just love to group things at our firm. So one bucket that you're likely familiar with are benefits to individuals. These are things such as Social Security payments. There's also a lot of money spent in supporting the military installations across the state, on infrastructure funding, and then all kinds of other supports like Indian Health Service, Essential Air Service, and others. To give some additional context about how important federal spending is to our state and locally, about 1 in 10 Anchorage workers are federal, civilian, or military employees. That's a pretty high percentage nationally. I think we're about the third in that percentage of our workers. I don't think I need to tell anyone in this room that we are, of course, in a time of really evolving federal spending changes. There is no definitive analysis right now on how the different bills coming out of DC are going to impact money that comes into Anchorage. What is a certainty and what we can say is that this federal spending is very important for our economy. It will likely continue to be very important for our economy, but the composition of that money may change.
In addition, locally, we're still dealing with state-level fiscal challenges, changes in the state revenue mix. We're dealing with lingering inflation that's been with us for several years now, and some major sector changes in places like oil and gas and leisure and hospitality. And that's creating a lot of uncertainty locally. Now, for over a decade, our firm, McKinley Research Group, has been conducting the Business Confidence Index survey every year. That survey is really a look at the expectations that businesses have about the future of the Anchorage economy and their businesses. The Business Confidence Index, and next, as I'll go into, the Anchorage Consumer Confidence Index, are supported and sponsored by Furniture Enterprises of Alaska, Primera Blue Cross, and by Providence. And these companies support these surveys and this local, detailed economic research because they know that a strong economy is so important for the health and well-being of the residents of Anchorage, and because they really value these insights into consumer confidence here. This research wouldn't be possible without their support, and we are grateful to them for it. Now, you can see this underlying feeling of uncertainty in this year's Business Confidence Index. That top chart is showing you what the composite index has been each of the last 10 years. And this year's is pretty low at 49.1, but it's not the lowest that it's ever been. What's really happening here is a lot of wait and see from businesses. Now, a score over 55 represents optimism, while a score below 45 represents pessimism. So this is neither optimistic nor really pessimistic, but just feeling a lot of uncertainty about both national level and local policies. And in particular, this is how companies are feeling about their businesses. They are asked about their plans for hiring, capital investment, and expansion, as well as certain local economic issues. When we look a little bit more broadly, we ask, how will Anchorage's economy fare in 2025? And here you get a much more pessimistic picture. The businesses that responded here, two-thirds of them said they thought that the Anchorage economy would get worse. And concerns about the local economy were really focused on policy issues like the state budget and public safety. Now, the Consumer Confidence Index, which is conducted by our good friends over at Alaska Survey Research, is a quarterly look at how individual consumers are feeling about their personal finances, their household situation, and their economy as it affects them. And it's actually up a little bit this year. Still below 50%, but at 43.9, it's ticked up a little bit from last year. The interesting thing here is, and something we often see, while people are feeling not incredibly optimistic as individuals about the local economy, they are feeling, 57.9%, very solid about their own personal financial situation. So broadly, there's uncertainty and a little pessimism about the local economy, but as individuals and households, around 60% of them are feeling okay.
Well, if we had put together AEDC bingo cards today, I think the word uncertainty would really be that free space. So if you've brought your own bingo card, go ahead and put that one in. But in real seriousness, if you've been wrestling with that feeling in your own firms, in your own life, you can see that you're in very good company from those surveys that Moira shared. Our goal for the next segment of this presentation, again, is to give a high-level update on several industries And again, the goal here is to inject some more concrete concrete information into those conversations where you work. Employment is not the only factor or the only indicator that we look at, certainly, and you'll see many as we go through this presentation. But we do like to look at the number of jobs and employment in Anchorage because it gives us a nice way to look at a common indicator across several sectors. What you're seeing in this slide is average employment from January through June of this year and in several years in the recent past. What you should see here is that employment growth in Anchorage has really leveled off so far in 2025. But that leveling off of employment growth has not been consistent across our core industries. You can see from this chart, which looks at the change in employment from 2024 to 2025, that we have some industries like leisure and hospitality that have contracting employment, while others like transportation, where we see a continued growth.
You're listening to Addressing Alaskans on Alaska Public Media. Today's show is the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation's 2025 Anchorage Economic Summit. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Addressing Alaskans on Alaska Public Media. Today's show is the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation's 2025 Anchorage Economic Summit.
In our firm and in our work, we're generally focused on industries that bring new money into the Anchorage economy. And this is very purposeful again. Generally, what you're going to see in an economy like Anchorage and Alaska is that growth comes when we have new money entering our ecosystem. Growth is less likely to come as we take the same dollars and shuffle them around internally. So what we're going to focus on today is the set of industries that you're seeing here on your screen. These are the largest industries in Anchorage that are bringing that kind of new money to us. That is not to say that they are the only industries and that there are nothing else that's important. We know that there are so many supportive industries, and many of you in this room today probably see yourself or your industry reflected here. The industries here on this screen now are those that really make it possible to do business in Anchorage, make it possible for us to live here, and for those conditions of growth. We wish today that we could go through every nook and cranny of everything and we could really talk your ear off, but we have time primarily to focus on those, again, core industries bringing new money.
So we'll start off with the transportation industry, which really is a bright spot and is where we're seeing the most growth locally. You can see this growth indicated in the cargo volume that's coming through both the Anchorage International Airport as well as the Port of Alaska. On this slide, the top chart is showing you the total cargo volume from January through May of this year and the years prior. And what you'll see here is that cargo volume is up this year over last. The second chart is the same story, but this is cargo transiting through the Port of Alaska. Once again, you'll see that cargo volume is up this year, but also at the port, we are at record highs for cargo volume. So the tariffs and announcement of potential tariffs have not meaningfully reduced volume at either of these locations yet. That said, even with overall cargo volume up, where we are seeing the impact of tariffs is here on volatility. Now, that top maroon line is showing you 2025, and the other two lines are the 2 years previous. And this is an interesting thing to see. In January, we had way more cargo volume than usual, and then a big dip in February when tariffs were announced. We then see a spike in March as companies try to time the market, get ahead of tariffs. This is a phenomenon known as pull forward. And then over the next couple of months in April and May, that volume declines. So let's talk about what's actually in these planes. Cargo volume at the airport represents companies in the lower 48 buying goods from East Asia and then planes carrying those goods stopping here to refuel. I know it might seem a little bit early, but May and June is actually the time when a lot of companies are buying the goods that they're going to need for the Christmas season. Remember that all of these items have to be ordered, they have to be manufactured, assembled, packaged, shipped, they then have to arrive, be offloaded, transported, and ultimately put on shelves for customers to buy them in time for Christmas. If tariffs go into effect, we would expect to see a reduction in demand, and companies here are preemptively responding to that anticipated reduction in demand by buying less inventory so they don't end up with more than they can sell during that critical holiday season. Nevertheless, the overall numbers are up, and you can see the impact of that growth in the employment numbers. The transportation industry in Anchorage is up 1,000 jobs so far this year over the same time period last year. And you should keep in mind that those job numbers include warehousing and distribution, as well as your more conventional port, airport, and commercial driving jobs.
One area of the Anchorage economy where you're very likely to hear us talk about Alaska spending is in the construction industry. The construction industry in Anchorage really supports activity statewide, and here's how that often looks. We have many businesses that are headquartered in Anchorage or the Mat-Su area who bid on work and perform construction statewide. So they're taking crews that sometimes show up in Anchorage employment data, and they're deploying those folks across the state to get work done. Over the last several years, the two largest drivers in construction spending in Alaska have been oil and gas developments and federal infrastructure funding. Our team has been closely following the Federal Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act that was signed in 2021. Thus far, Alaska entities have been awarded $8.5 billion in funding through that act. You can see from this pie chart that more than half of that funding was awarded through the state of Alaska, but about 40% of funding has come through tribal governments, local governments, other nonprofits, and then in some cases, the federal government directly contracting with the industry. This has been an area particularly of that evolving federal policy. The federal government and the new administration has been reviewing each grant to see how these grants align with their priorities and their policies. It is very difficult. I'm going to be very, very honest with all of you because you're my closest friends. It's very difficult to track all of this funding because that funding has been coming through so many different organizations. And you'll often hear our team on the phone, probably to some of you in this room, asking about the status of this funding. Our initial assessment of this changing policy is that about 10% of this funding is currently paused, in reviewed, or canceled. Our team, of course, will be following this as it evolves, and you can expect to hear more around February of 2026 as we work with the Associated General Contractors of Alaska and the Construction Industry Progress Fund to put out the 2026 construction spending forecast. One final note here about construction spending and funding is that we have a particular layer of uncertainty right now with the state government in terms of state match required to access federal transportation dollars. That match is very important for the industry because it's the mechanism by which the state can bring those new federal dollars into our economy. I'm turning now to permitting activity in Anchorage because this is an indicator that's more specific right here to our local economy. And you can think about this most in the term of vertical construction. So this is most important when we think about the buildings that are going up, not necessarily large civil road projects. You can see that thus far in 2025, construction permitting activity has been about on par with 2024. But the composition has changed somewhat. We've seen residential permitting activity increase while commercial activity has gone down.
So as Katie just mentioned, residential permits are up, and not just by a little. For the first 6 months of 2025, we are actually nearing a high from the last several years in the number of residential permits. And this is really exciting because this represents a lot of progress from the last decade. Multifamily units in particular, which are the blue part of this graph, they have increased this year. You can see that there have been 171 permits in the January to June timeframe. Policy changes like the new 20-year tax abatement on multifamily developments, as well as a temporary pause in certain design standards, are allowing developers to make investments into projects that they wouldn't have ordinarily. Recently announced developments like the Northwood 2 apartments in South Anchorage and the Baxter apartments in East Anchorage are going to bring badly needed apartments into this city, dozens of them, in fact, in multiple areas of town. But new builds are only one piece of this housing puzzle. On this slide, you're going to see something that probably everyone in this room has experienced, either directly or indirectly as residents of Anchorage. Over the last 10 years, you can see that housing prices have been going up steadily. And in the last 5 years, housing prices are up a whopping 40%. The median sale price is now over $520,000 for a house in Anchorage. But during that same time period, you can see that this other line is showing you the number of units sold. And that number was also increasing at a rapid clip. It peaked in 2021, and then it has been precipitously declining since then as elevated interest rates and home prices have been starting to put a damper on demand. On the employment side, jobs in the construction industry are essentially flat year over year, although they also remain elevated because of continued investments in places like infrastructure and oil and gas.
As we started with talking about construction, I mentioned that oil and gas industry has been one of the main construction spending drivers in Alaska over the last several years. And then I quickly moved on because I knew we were going to talk about oil and gas because it really deserves its own place in this presentation. Outside of the capital dollars and the developments happening on the North Slope right now, the oil and gas industry continues to be a very significant source of new money coming into our economy through operating funding, through capital expenditures, and all of that spending that happens statewide. Two of the most important factors when we talk about the industry in Alaska are Alaska North Slope oil production, which you can see in the bar chart here, and average prices. What I really hope that you can see in this chart from about 2020 to about 2024 is that production in Alaska has been fairly stable in contrast to this high volatility in oil prices over the last several years. This points to how different Alaska operations are compared to other regions. In other places like the Bakken, you might anticipate seeing production swing a lot more with this type of price change. There's a few other things that I hope you see in this chart, and they're really stemming from those oil and gas developments on the North Slope. By a show of hands, who is aware of two big projects on the North Slope? And not just the Conoco table or the Hillcorp table or the Santa, okay. Really, really pleased to see that you've all been paying attention over the last several years. So what you can see in this chart is that in fiscal year 2027, this production forecast, which is put out by the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, is anticipated to increase as the Santos Pica project moves into production. And then later in the early 2030s, you can also see that as ConocoPhillips Willow production comes online, there's another increase here in production. Now, we talked about evolving federal policy, but I also wanted to note here that there are some changes in federal policy currently that really set the conditions for more production or more state revenue potential for Alaska. Now, you've probably heard me say this, some of you in the room have heard me say that from the time you discover oil all the way to a final investment decision, that takes years. Some of you at your tables might say that takes decades. But nevertheless, the ability to explore for those resources is a necessary condition for all of those things to happen. So with this evolving federal policy, we may see additional production beyond this forecast. Again, we like to look at employment in Anchorage, and here it is for the oil and gas industry. This is not my favorite indicator for the city of Anchorage, and here's why. This indicator reflects a very narrow band of how the oil and gas spending and industry touches the Anchorage community. What you can't see here is the number of people who are residents of Anchorage or the Mat-Su area who work on the North Slope. So their employment is really counted on the North Slope. You also can't see in this indicator all of the vendors that that really earn their living from supporting this industry, or the effects of state government revenue as it comes back to our community. We tend to talk a lot about activity on the North Slope when we talk about the oil and gas industry, but we really wanted to point out today that Cook Inlet Natural Gas is very important for meeting the energy needs of South Central Alaska. Because you are all aware of the developments on the North Slope, I don't have to quiz you now about these key utility contracts that are expiring over the next several years. And what that looks like is that utilities have been seeking ways to supplement and augment their supply of natural gas as these contracts expire. Some of the ways that they're doing that is looking for more natural gas in Cook Inlet, thinking about importing natural gas or bringing stranded resources down from the North Slope. What's important about this is that in any case, however the supply is augmented, we do anticipate that there will be some increase in business costs as that supply is shifted away to other resources.
So I hope I'm not the only one who loves seeing this little red trolley around town. In fact, I know I'm not, because when my kids see this trolley and we're driving around, they go absolutely crazy. And I know that they love it because it reminds them of Mr. Rogers, and I love it for other reasons. And that's because visitors to Anchorage are a significant source of key money coming into the economy. Last year, in 2024, Anchorage visitors spent a little under $1 billion in economic impact. That cash injection into our leisure and hospitality industry is what allows that industry to operate year-round. So those of us who live here can continue to enjoy great restaurants and great entertainment even in January. The visitor industry, though, is sensitive to national and to international factors. Thanks to research supported by Visit Anchorage, we know that 83% of visitors to Anchorage are coming from the lower 48. They are not international travelers. And the factors that affect these domestic travelers are going to have an outsized impact on us. Our visitor industry is so exposed to consumer confidence in the lower 48 because it's a direct function of discretionary spending and that decision of whether or not you're going to feel confident enough to book an expensive Alaska vacation. What you can see on this chart is a look back at consumer confidence all the way back to 2008. And you'll note that consumer confidence is way down from January of this year, lower than it's been in quite some time. On average, visitors to Anchorage are making the decision of whether to book their trip about 5 months in advance of when they come. Consumer sentiment and uncertainty months before the busy summer season are going to have an impact on those decisions. So if you think back to that slide on air cargo volatility, think back to what was happening in February. When tariffs were announced, we saw this big dip in cargo volume as many businesses and customers were pulling back. Well, that was also about the same time that travelers would be deciding whether or not they're going to book that once-in-a-lifetime Alaskan trip for this summer. And many of them decided not to. Here you can see the airport passenger volume January to June, and for this year, it is already down by 7%. This is going to have a significant impact on the spending that happens here in Anchorage locally and an impact on that leisure and hospitality industry. But on the other hand, we know that the capacity of cross-Gulf cruise ships is expected to expand next year as more ships come to Whittier and to Seward. The opening of the new cruise ship terminal in Whittier is going to help boost cruise passenger traffic to South Central and ultimately to Anchorage. So we track employment in the visitor industry through this category of leisure and hospitality, which includes some sectors that are a little bit more sensitive to local spending, like restaurants and entertainment. Here, employment has dropped since 2024. You can see that it has lost 700 jobs year-to-date over the same period last year, which is an indication of lower consumer confidence and visitor traffic, as well as likely lower spending by locals. Of the 700 jobs that have been lost here, about 200 of them were in accommodations, like hotels, and the other 500 were in entertainment areas, like bowling alleys, zoos, museums, tours, and even fitness centers. All of these are impacted by both reduced visitor volume and by residents pulling back in spending.
At the top of this presentation, we segmented industries into two buckets, but we didn't do that with healthcare. And that's because the ways that residents and businesses spend on healthcare in Alaska is really augmented by the federal government. You can see that, from this slide, $9.5 billion, or about thereof, is spent annually on healthcare in Alaska. Federal government funding through Medicaid and Medicare accounts for about a third of that spending. Medicaid spending has been at the forefront of many conversations about this evolving federal spending policy situation. To the extent that the enrollment of Alaska beneficiaries goes down, you can see that this can have a pretty big impact on the industry, and especially those segments of the industry that are more exposed to federal funding. Right now, the state of Alaska is working on an analysis of what these enrollment changes might mean for Alaska, but here's what we might expect. If the enrollment of beneficiaries in Alaska goes down, we may see that some providers are more selective about service delivery and offerings across the system. On the other hand, there are parts of this industry that are legally obligated to provide services regardless of a person's ability to pay. So again, to the extent that the number of beneficiaries enrolled goes down, we may see that those parts of the industry are covering higher costs because there are more patients that cannot pay for those services. Generally, what we see is that providers have to then increase costs for private insurance or others to cover the cost of those services that are not paid for. That has a relationship to health insurance premiums. What you're looking at here is the average annual single enrollment premium for a private health insurance plan in Alaska, and that's expanded over the last decade by about 25%. Again, there's a relationship here to the costs of providers and what they're going to bill and health insurance premiums. So again, to the extent that provider costs go up as enrollment goes down, we may see some further increase in these premiums. Healthcare employment has continued to expand thus far in Anchorage, but we don't anticipate that that will continue given some recent layoff announcements and uncertainty in this payer mix. Well, Moira and I have just covered an incredible amount of information here. We hope that what you can see is that there are some certainties for Anchorage. Our role geographically, our role as the economic hub of Alaska are strengths for Anchorage. You can see that in continued work around transportation and oil and gas.
That was the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation's 2025 Anchorage Economic Summit. We'll have the full report on our website. Alaska's economy looks a lot like the national economy right now. That was the message from Mary Daly, the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, who visited Anchorage recently to speak at the Economic Summit. Her research focuses on employment, wage trends, economic growth, and shocks. The Federal Reserve, often called the Fed, is the central bank of the United States. The agency supervises and regulates banks nationwide and conducts monetary policy. Daly keeps tabs on Alaska's economy since the state is part of her West Coast district. She told Alaska Public Media's Ava White that national economic indicators look very similar to in-state indicators.
And that's not always been true. You know, Alaska's been growing very, very slowly while the nation was growing quickly. But now things are evening out. And I see some of the same challenges here that I see back in the lower 48. Prices are high, inflation's still rising. People are feeling very nervous about the continuation of job growth and their own ability to hold their job and continue to build their income and ultimately wealth. And housing and childcare are problems everywhere that are top of mind as barriers to trying to, you know, grow your career, raise a family, and ultimately contribute to your community. So universal problems or challenges, and I think that just shows where we are in the economy.
And I know that Alaska isn't unique in this problem, but we do have a housing shortage, both urban and rural, along with comparatively a small population, but really high construction costs. Are there any policies or trends that the Fed is following that might ease lending or development hurdles for housing in places like Alaska or across the board?
You know, we heard from the mayor today that she's supportive, as is the assembly, of relaxing certain other zoning restrictions or building restrictions that have made it very difficult because you already have higher construction costs. Right now, interest rates are modestly restrictive. And then you add to it a slate of things that you might have been the right thing at the moment, but are now hurdles to building multifamily housing. And I think she also mentioned the 20-year hiatus on taxes for multifamily, and that just generates an opportunity for builders, especially in the private sector, which is where you need the growth, to get in there, create residential permits, get people the houses they need. Those are the kinds of policies that I see really breaking the logjam, is these things that make it harder and harder to build.
I know it has happened in the past, but some Alaskans are concerned about a recession in the near future. What steps is the Fed taking, or will the Fed take in the future to prevent that happening?
So, you know, one of the things that I'm highly focused on right now is, when do we need to recalibrate the interest rate to account for the fact that the economy is slowing and the labor market is slowing. So we don't want to let that slowing go forward too long, or else you end up, you know, getting to a point where the economy proverbially tips over. I don't see us there yet, but the time is now to balance our two goals, price stability and full employment, and really do everything in our power to get the soft landing that I feel that Alaskans and U.S. the nation as a whole deserves.
And you mentioned labor. Last week, President Trump fired the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics when the agency released job numbers that he didn't like, and he called them rigged with no evidence to support that claim. How concerning is it to you if the basic data that underlies the U.S. economy is called into question?
So the Federal Reserve and businesses and so many places in the U.S., policymakers of all types, state and local governments, rely heavily on continuity of statistics. And the government, the U.S. government, and the statistical agencies that we have are considered one of the premier crown jewels of the global data collection system. Many countries follow our models because we have consistent data collection. We have data collection that is always there. Earnest people work there. They're doing statistical work and data collection. That's really important. So I think keeping those pieces of information that have integrity, have continuity, and are accurate is critical to actually being able to do our work. But in the meantime, I would expect those things to be true, but we also don't just rely on those statistics. We rely on a variety of new data sources that are collected privately, also talking to people coming to the cities that we serve and the states that we serve and learning from them directly. And right now I see the labor data that came out on Friday to be more consistent with what I'm hearing from people, that the labor market is softening, maybe not to the magnitude that the revision suggested, because data at this point are always a little bit noisy when you have a transition period. Ultimately, though, I think they are closer to what I'm hearing from individuals, households, and businesses than they are when it was growing so fast and people look at the data and say, that doesn't reflect me.
That was Alaska Public Media's Ava White speaking with Mary Daly, the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. Thanks for joining us today for Addressing Alaskans. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ammon Swenson. Thanks for listening.
Addressing Alaskans is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music is by Patrick Lee. The views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, go to our website at alaskapublic.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.